I just want to preach just this morning on shepherds, sheep and sheepfolds. Please turn with me to John chapter 10. Shepherds, sheep and sheepfolds. John chapter 10. Shepherds, sheep and sheepfolds. Hope you go to bed tonight. Those three words rolling in your mind. Shepherd, sheep, sheepfolds. Shepherd, sheep, sheepfolds. Do you know why? Because if you're born again, your whole life is caught up in this. John chapter 10, reading from verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Christ didn't mix his words. I tell you, Christ was clear, wasn't he? Wasn't he? It was clear. This is our Christ. This is how you know Christ speaks to you. You know why? Because he's very, very clear. He that climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Verse 2, but he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him. For they know his voice, and a stranger they will not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of a stranger. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door, and all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill and destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, or someone who's just merely hired for the job, and not the shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I pray, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. And you don't need to turn there, but I just want to read from Acts chapter 20, Acts 20 and verse 28. And this is Paul speaking to the elders at Ephesus, the Ephesian elders or overseers or bishops. It's all a synonymous word there. And this is what he says. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that's why they had to feed them, for I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves. Who's he speaking to? The elders, the leaders of that local church. He's speaking to them. He says, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone, night and day, with tears. Father, we just thank you again for your word, your truth. We're hungry, we're thirsty, O God. That is the mark of your true sheep, that they hear your word. That is our confidence, even in the preaching and the teaching of your word. Lord God, goats don't like your word. Goats don't want to hear your word. Goats don't want to fellowship. But Lord God, your sheep, Lord God, desire hunger and thirst for the true word of God. They desire to submit themselves to the truth of your word. They long for the great shepherd to reign over their minds and their hearts, their lives, their choices, their motives, their conducts. They long that the great shepherd would lead them. Lord God, I pray, O God, for that manifestation of the great shepherd of the sheep in our midst, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Shepherd, sheep, and sheepfolds. This is something vital that we must know and understand. Every believer, from the young people to the old, from the newest convert to those that have walked with the Lord many years, you must understand what the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, what Christ, the apostles, the Old Testament prophets, what they all taught about shepherds, sheep, and sheepfolds. Because from the book of Genesis to Revelation, we have the full spectrum of this teaching of what a shepherd is to be, what a church is to be. That's the fold, the flock, the sheepfold, and what sheep are to be. And we want to deal with that. This probably, shepherding is probably one of the oldest jobs in the Bible, apart from gardening itself. We are told in Genesis 4 and 2 that Abel was a keeper of sheep. One of the first, oldest, and greatest of tasks was the shepherding of the sheep. There's Abel, the son of Adam and Eve, soon to be murdered, soon to be killed. But here he is, a shepherd of the sheep. This is the heart that God gave him. This is the calling God put on his life. They say, all the experts, there's a strange word for the teaching about sheep. I can't even remember what it is. Only heard it once in my life this week, and I can't remember it. But it's a nice fancy term. And by that term, they basically mean the theology of shepherding. And do you know what? The first shepherd ever was Abel. That man had a heart for the sheep of God. That man had a burden from God. I believe his heart must have burned with intimacy. But that theology of shepherding, they actually say that apart from the dog, the earliest domesticated animal was sheep. And I don't believe the secular world can understand that. The secular world can't say that. But we can. Before a dog was ever domesticated, those sheep were domesticated, I assure you. And there's Abel with a heart. Do you know what he learned in that sheepfold? As he watched the sheep and looked after them, he began to realize something of the heart of God. He began to realize, even in that sheepfold, that it wasn't by the works of our hand, but it would be by the sacrifice of bull. Here is a man who knows about the blood. The first time we read about a sheep keeper, a shepherd, first time we read about sheep, and the first time we read of that, the gathering of the flock, we hear about the blood. That shepherd was a blood man. Every true shepherd is a blood man. Every true flock is a place where you'll hear about the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know what we have in the church of our generation? Bloodless preachers. Congregations that sing bloodless songs. I tell you, we need the blood back in again. Show me a true church, I'll show you an emphasis on the blood. They preach the blood. They pray the blood. They sing about the blood. They plead the blood. The blood is the emphasis. Do you know, for all eternity, we're going to sing about the blood. Well, you better get used to it here. You better learn the words. Here, I'll give you the words that you're going to sing for all eternity. I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Can we say that together? Can I hear you? I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Now you better get practicing, because they're the very words that you'll sing for all eternity. Do you know what? From the day you're born again and God brings you into the flock, all you sing about is, I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So we realize straight from the beginning of Genesis, the sheepfolds, the shepherds, there's an emphasis on the blood. It's the blood, the blood, the blood. The only thing that acceptable to God. God doesn't care about your theology. God doesn't care about your nice comments, your practical advice, all the things that you do through the week. It's the blood that makes a difference. Yeah. You're no different than the sinners out there. I tell you, sometimes we go out there and tell sinners, for this sin, God's going to damn you in hell. Yet we tolerate it in the church of God. But it seems we need to awaken. We tell men they're in their way to hell. They're liars, they're cheats, they're adulterous in heart. But we tolerate it under the name of grace in the church. Yeah. But God needs to deal with these things and bring an awakening unto the church. You see, from the very beginning of time, God ordained these shepherds to look after the flock. Shepherds and sheepfolds were never meant to be separated. You're never meant to get sheep where there's no shepherds. And you get no flock where there isn't a revelation and a manifestation of the power of that blood. All through the Old Testament, we read of shepherd after shepherd. The greatest men in the history of God were shepherds. Abraham was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. David was a shepherd. Yeah. And 10,000 others. We read of Job that he had 14,000 sheep. He was a shepherd. He had hosts of sheep. Where did God find his greatest men? In the sheepfold. That's where he prepared them, trained them, made them ready. And none of these men were great men without going through God's sheepfold. What God is trying to tell us, that all of his history, all of his dealings with his people, it's in the sheepfold. You won't get far through this book until you meet a sheep, a shepherd, or a sheepfold. You can't get away from it. Get over into the Psalms, it's everywhere. Get over into those prophets, they're rebuking the shepherds for neglecting the sheep. Get over into the Gospels, and you've got Christ saying about going out after that one lost sheep. All through the epistles, Paul is telling those leaders, feed the sheep. Feed the flock that's been entrusted with you. This whole Bible is a Bible about shepherds, sheepfolds, and sheep. That's what the whole revelation is there. And it's talking about you and me. If you don't understand this, you're going to perish things. If you don't understand about shepherds and the flock, you will do damage to your own Christian walk. If you don't know what you're meant to be as a sheep, you will get yourself into trouble. I tell you, one of these days we'll come down the road. You'll be hanging there in the hedge. And I've seen sheep like this, all tangled up in the barbed wire fence, battered by the elements. And wondering, how did I get here? That's what sheep do. I tell you, a shepherd will tell you how you got there, all right. More than 1,000 different breeds of sheep. That's what they estimate across the world. They all come in different sizes, shapes, colors, different names, different qualities, different emphasis. But a sheep is a sheep. A sheep is a sheep in character. Everybody knows a sheep. I tell you, you go and you go, that's not any other animal. I know a sheep when I see a sheep. Oh, it might look a bit fluffier than the other one. Might have a wee bit of different color. But you're a sheep. And you know what? Every man born of Adam's race, he is a fallen man with a fallen nature. We're all the same. I tell you, color doesn't mean anything in this church. Might to some church down the way, there's as much bigotry and racism in Africa as there is in the midst of Europe. Let it be Protestant, Catholic, black, white. There's always something within the nature of man to find racism, bigotry. But can I tell you, you're all sinners born of Adam's race. Color doesn't matter a bit. The only thing that matters, are you saved? Are you not? Are you on your way to heaven? On your way to hell? I tell you, there's no color in this church. There'll never be a cultural church here. We are born again by the Spirit of God. Let a Jew get born again. He'll come in and be a part of this church, not a Jewish church. We're not going back to Judaism. Yeah. We don't need to wear a little kipper or call Jesus Yeshua. All of that is foolishness. I tell you, we've been born again. Amen. There's one born again church, Jew and Gentile in one body. Hallelujah. Not two different bodies. Not the Gentiles saying we'll go back to Jerusalem and become like the Jew. Not the Jew saying we'll become like the Gentiles and introduce paganism. Yeah. One body under one shepherd, washed by the blood of Jesus. Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That is the real church, and we must see it again. Oh yes, the sheep breeds 1,000 of them. 1,000, some estimate 1,600 different types of breeds. But a sheep is a sheep. Yeah. Just look at its character. It has the same characteristics. Just let me list a few of these simple characteristics of a sheep, because God chose the sheep. Now don't think I'm downgrading when I mention some of these, downgrading the status of a sheep. Christ himself chose to come as the Lamb of God.
Yeah.
You see, the Lamb speaks of innocency, purity, holiness, separation unto God. Do you know what happened in that time in the Passover? See, every home needed a lamb, needed a Passover. They were going to have to shed blood for their sins, the sin of their children, for mommy, daddy, granny, granddad, all the servants in that home. Do you know what they've done with that little lamb? Here, dear, go out and pick a little lamb that we're going to butcher Passover. Do you know what they done? It had to be perfect, without spot or blemish. And they brought it into the home. Do you know what it's going to happen for the next weeks or months? It's going to live in their home. That little lamb, they're going to feed it in that home. The boys are going to give it a wee name, Skippy. I called my sheep Skippy way years ago at home. Loved to eat crisps. And we gave it a name. It become a part of the family, just like a dog. But here's the children. They're stroking little Skippy in the home. They're raising it, but that sheep is going to die a terrible death. For them, you see, their emotions are going to be attached to that lamb. Yeah. All of us adore a lamb, a little cuddly lamb. All our affections, our emotions are stirred over its purity, its simplicity, and its Christ-likeness. But all of their hearts were caught up in it. And as Daddy takes that lamb, and the children look at him and begin to wait and say, Daddy, what are you going to do? What are you doing to Skippy? Skippy's going to die for your sins. Skippy's going to lose his blood that you might be forgiven. That's what's going to happen. And can you imagine the feeling? Can you imagine the expression of that? But they said all this is a picture of something greater. That one day God's Son, the Messiah, is going to come and die for you, that all of your sins are forgiven. Saints, we are caught up in this in a very real way. But let me tell you something about these sheep. These are just the traditional markers. I've known a few shepherds in my time. They told me some stories. Doesn't matter where it's Scotland, Ireland, Germany, or any other country. Sheep are sheep. Culture doesn't affect the sheep. What a sheep is, it is in every culture, in every generation, and it hasn't changed in 6,000 years. First of all, they're timid, fearful, and easily panicked. That's why if you ever corner a sheep, you're in trouble. They don't attack, they don't bite. I never seen an angry sheep in my life, not one. Never seen one. Never heard of anyone being bitten by a sheep unless they stick their hands in there. Never heard of a sheep running for a man. But if you get them in a corner, they will become distressed. So the first thing about their character is they're timid, they're fearful, and they're easily panicked. Don't we have a lot of fears, church?
Yeah.
Fear about the future.
Yeah.
Fear about finance. Fear about our children. Fear about our own soul. Fear about everything. But we are prone to that, church. That's what sheep are. Many fears. Many distresses. Easily disturbed. That's why we need to come in under the Word. That's why we need to fellowship one with the other. You know, you're going, how many times has already happened in this church? Somebody here, they're distressed in mind. But just coming in and fellowshiping, sitting under the Word, talking to a brother, praying with each other, and that burden lifts off them. Oh, that was a fear, but I've got set free from it. I tell you, we're easily concerned over so many things, easily distressed. We're vulnerable to many fears, and that's what sheep are. They're easily spooked. All you have to do is raise your voice. And they say the greatest shepherds are those who don't raise their voices. Us Pentecostals are out of it then, I'm afraid. But what they mean by that, if you get a shepherd going in there shouting, yelling at the sheep, I tell you, those sheep go chaotic. You see, that scares them. They say the greatest shepherds are those who are calm, clear, and collective, who simply command them, or simply call to them, and the sheep follow them. But if you ever spook sheep, it'll be a long while before they settle down again. Secondly, many people call them dumb, stupid, gullible. But I want to change that a bit. And that's how people think of them. Ask any true shepherd. He'll say they're not dumb or stupid.
Yeah.
They're okay for what they're meant to be. They're sheep. Let's just call it, let's be very practical and nice here and call them simple. We as believers, we are simple. I tell you, as soon as we think, some of us get educated beyond our own brains sometimes. I tell you, education can destroy a man. Knowledge of the word can destroy a man if he doesn't live it. Do you know what it becomes? It becomes like that manna that was filled with the worms and it perishes. If you do not live the word of God, do you know what it does? Puffs up your heart. Knowledge puffeth up. Okay? But do you know when the word of God really comes under the reality of Christ? You know what happens? Everybody's edified. Yeah. Love edifies. In other words, knowledge can destroy you. But see, when that word of God captivates your heart and turns into reality, what we heard last week, and bringing forth the love of Christ, it edifies everyone. It has an effect on everybody. And there's a big difference. You know the difference between truth being a part of you and lived out through your life. People get edified. Yeah. Or truth being in your head. You do not obey it, but you talk about it. There's nothing that's as much a curse in the church. Preachers who talk about the word, but they don't live it. And believers, they'll give you an opinion. They'll give you a thought. They'll say, I think, actually, this is my thought. But they're not living the word of God. It's hypocrisy. It's dead. It means nothing. I would rather have a man who can't put a sentence together, but they just live for Christ, than a man who has all his doctrines and he's got it all laid out and he can give you an answer for everything, but he lives nothing. Their religion is vain. Absolutely vain. So we're saying the sheep are simple. Not simple intelligently. Not stupid, but there is a real simplicity with sheep. They're vulnerable. Certainly, they stampede easily. You get them, just get one sheep to stampede, all of them will follow after it. But they can stampede. Fourthly, they have very little discernment in choosing food and water. That's why the whole Bible says they need to be led. Many people say they're colorblind. They're trying to refute that now and say it's not true. But that's what I've heard through the years. Shepherds have always said it, that those sheep are colorblind. In other words, they can't tell what's good grass and bad grass, burnt grass and lush grass. They need the aid of a shepherd to lead them there. Most churches, people don't think for themselves. Most sheep, if it's heresy in the pulpit, we'll all follow heresy. If it's truth, we'll all follow truth. That's why in the prophets, do you know Ezekiel and Jeremiah point the finger at the pastors and say, woe unto you. Woe. They don't speak to the sheep. The sheep are off track. The sheep are going astray. The sheep are going in a wrong direction. But the prophets don't rebuke them. They deal with those shepherds and say, why aren't you doing your job? You see, if the shepherds would do their job, we wouldn't have that terrible tragedy that is going on in our generation. Sheep are colorblind. They need to be led. And that's why God ordained shepherds and has ordained Christ to lead us into green pastures. They have very little discernment over food. You know, you hear someone, they're mature, they've sat in church for years, they've been well taught. Just let a heresy come up. And I'm sorry to say this, most times they'll just follow the heresy and go, amen, well he must know what he's talking about. Saints, we need to grow. We need to grow up and mature and come back to the word of God. Too many are blown about. I tell you, if us two pass away and somebody else comes in here and they'll give you nice little messages, you better know the word of God. Oh, but they're so eloquent. Oh, but they're so lovely in their personality. Oh, but they love me. But do they tell you the truth? See, how we define love is most of the time way off. Does he come to you and say, brother, you're sinning? You're sinning. You're not doing what Christ says. That's love. But we have reinterpreted all these terms. They're easily cast on their back. A term only used for sheep. What that means is, when all that heavy wool that keeps them nice and warm and cozy, and they're enjoying the warmth of that nice wool in the winter time, it becomes top heavy. Their comfort zone becomes their downfall, and they flip over on their back, and no sheep can turn themselves. No sheep has ever been able to do it. And in Scotland, they're more intelligent over there, the sheep, that there is someone who actually said that on those cattle grids, that sheep were seen, that they haven't got photographic evidence, but supposedly the Scottish sheep can do this, where they rolled over it on their backs and were able to get across the cattle grid. Now, some say that's a myth. I don't know. Maybe you can inform us of that. But that's what they say. If a sheep ever falls on its back, it cannot be turned. Do you know that many of us were so helpless without the aid of what God puts there? Again, they're easily cast, and they need to be turned over again. You see, your comfort zone can destroy you. What you built in around you and say, it keeps me warm. Yeah. This is the enjoyment of life. These are the things that I enjoy in life. It can put you in your back and be a curse to you. What you think is a blessing, my nice thick wool, can become a destructive thing. Your nice warm bed can become a destroyer of everything you are. Some entertainment, some passion, whatever you give your time to, your work can destroy you. Can't it? Your husband can destroy you. Your wife can destroy you. Your kids can destroy you. Because you'll sell all your convictions for the sake of getting them squeezed in through the gate of heaven. You'll just narrow all of God's convictions because Jimmy has to go to heaven and we have to believe he's saved. So we'll compromise all of our conviction to get Jimmy into heaven. I've seen good preachers go that way. They compromise all of their convictions because of their children. Their children become a snare. Oh yes, great preachers. But really, they didn't apply it in their own home. And therefore nullified the power of all their preaching. They can stand up there and preach hard, straight, clear, but it's nullified by their life and their actions. Again, sheep are defenseless. A sheep never attacks or stands against its enemy. They're vulnerable to wild beasts. Their only response is to run. Do you know what? They have an eyesight almost 360 degrees. Those eyes on either side of their head, those wolves have their eyes straight ahead, but those sheep can almost watch in 360 degrees. I believe it's about 20-25% greater eyesight than you or I have. You see, they're vulnerable. They can't stand against the enemy. They're not strong against wolves, bears, lions, dogs, or foxes. I looked at a little picture of a fox just taking a little lamb, had it up against the fence, and was about to devour it. And that little lamb, it wasn't screaming, it wasn't yelling, you didn't see anxiety on its face. It was just there, lovely and timid. And this fox is about to devour that simple little lamb. You see, we're defenseless. You are defenseless. That's why you better have a shepherd. That's why you better truly be born again. That's why you better keep that fellowship between you and the great shepherd. You better stay in the sheepfold, saints. You better not stray out there where every sort of corruption will destroy you. I tell you, we've said it 10,000 times in this place, almost to a place where we have to become careful lest someone thinks coming to meetings is what it's all about, and it's not. That isn't the reason, it's a fellowshipping. And you see, this was the theology of the early church. Do you know how often they met? Daily. Daily in each other's homes. Daily preaching. You can't survive in once a week fellowshipping with believers. You cannot. There's something wrong with your Christianity. You're unhealthy, according to the Word of God. It says, as you see the day of Christ approaching, fellowship all the more. Fellowship all the more. Not just talking to believers, but fellowship and communion. You see, you're disobeying Scripture when you neglect the fellowship of the saints. In the beginning of the book of Acts, they met daily together. And it says they continued steadfastly. That early church, what steadfastly mean? You're going to have to fight something. Yeah. It means to literally grip on and say, we're going to remain steadfast in fellowship and together. In other words, there's many things that'll take you out of fellowship. They'll destroy that fellowship. So you're going to have to fight for it. It doesn't float down from heaven, saints. You need to make a choice. You need to pray it in. You need to establish it as a habit. And you need to adhere to that. That is Christ's word. That's what the apostles taught. They went from home to home, not just a Sunday meeting. They got into the homes of those believers. Maybe that's what we should do. Just have a meeting in each home every night of the week. Scary as. We'll come where you are. We'll bring church to you. We'll all stand our heads if we get you all in a prayer meeting. I'd gladly do that. Me and Stan in our heads, me and Gareth will do it. If every one of you were to commit yourselves to be in the prayer meeting, I promise you we'd do that. I'm not being stupid. What I'm saying is there's a desire and a longing. Sheep have tremendous smell. They identify those they're going to mate with by smell. They identify enemies by smell. So they have good eyesight. They're to be watchful. Yeah. The great mark, the only defense of a sheep is its watchfulness. Always keeping an eye out. If that sheep ever stops watching, it's going to get eaten. Yeah. But also its smell. It smells a rat. It smells there's something wrong. Yeah. It smells there's something going wrong here. There's a sense of smell that's profound and can save its life. But also there's a smell towards that which it desires. Sheep also are very demanding. Not here, of course. But sheep are very demanding. Ask any sheep farmer. There's never a week off. There's never a time off. They cannot leave that flock. The flock are too vulnerable. Yeah. Too vulnerable. They can't leave them alone. Sheep are very demanding. They need more care than any other livestock. More than chickens, more than cows, more than 1,000 other animals. These are the most demanding animal on the face of the earth. Sheep, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about me. We're very demanding. We're very need conscious. We have so many needs. But you know what? We need more care than any group of people on the face of this planet. Church people need more care, more concern, more prayer. I tell you, 2 weeks and you go, where is Jimmy Jones? Where are they? Two weeks ago they wanted to be an evangelist. Now they can't even make it to a meeting. I've had young converts tell me, we need to be out preaching the streets every week. We need a prayer meeting every morning in this church. Yeah. Where are they this morning? They're not here. Yeah. They're not here. Do you know what? It was all talk. And if only they could have established the basic Christianity. See, anybody can come out with statements. Anybody. Anybody. Sheep are very demanding. And that's a practicality. Gareth, get used to it. We're still here 34 years, 30 or 40 years. Get used to it. Sheep are demanding. Do you know what a church is like? You never get out of nappies. There'll always be a baby there screaming, dirty in a nappy. You'll smell it, you'll hear it, you'll know it. It's always there. You'll never be free of that. The sheep are demanding. There has to be a watchfulness. Sheep are also faithful, harmless, and followers. Hear me. That's a part of their nature. There is a tremendous faithfulness to those who win their trust. A great faithfulness. Do you know the problem in our churches? Because we haven't had good ministry and faithful shepherds who walk straight, there's great skepticism. They're after my money. They're after ministry. They have a hidden agenda and motive. You know why? Because the